Welcome back to the National Defense. Nate Herron here in the studio. And of course, when we're talking the National Defense, we're talking our great partners. We're talking Ford. And, you know, we had Ted Ryan on. We've had him on many times talking about all things Ford as their archivist. But it's not just a one-man job. And we're happy to have a new voice bringing us a little bit of the history of Ford. Shelby Long, Ford audiovisual archivist, is with us. Shelby, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. I mentioned to Ted last time we talked to him, we were talking about the history of the Ford Transit van, which I got to be honest, was a lot more interesting than I imagined it was going to be. It's like, hey, we're talking vans. But our fourth grader is dressing up as Henry Ford for his biography research project, Wax Museum. So we've gone over Henry Ford's fashion and we've gone over his penchant for soy-based chocolate chip cookies.
Yes.
But, a little more of the history. And, you know, you guys have got such a great project here with the Ford Heritage Vault. And you got an update. You got some new stuff coming, right?
Yes, we do. And not to get off topic, but Henry Ford also had a soy suit. I don't know if you were aware of that.
A soy suit?
Yes, he wore a soy suit. Okay. He did have a soy suit.
We found a bunch of tweed stuff at a thrift store. You know, he's a fourth grader, so if you buy him clothing now and it's supposed to be worn in 3 weeks, it's not going to fit in 3 weeks. So can you walk in the rain in a soy suit? Does that just dissolve?
I have no idea, but you can just say that whatever he's wearing is soy. But I had to throw that out there because it's so bizarre.
we've had it now twice. Folks from Michigan have said we get allowed to make up a soy-based story with Henry Ford. But I mean, you guys have got all these documents. You know, you go to the Ford Heritage Vault, and you know, I've been on it multiple times. And you know, aside from the fact there's an entire section just dedicated to the history of the Mustang, I mean, there's marketing towards women and there's outdoor life. There's all sorts of great things that really, I mean, you could kill days going through what you guys have compiled. Give us a little update on what you've been working on recently.
Yeah, so with the Ford Times, it was a team effort, but the Ford Times has a long storied past. So it was created in 1908, and it was more of an internal publication that was for dealers, different branch offices, and to try to get them on the same page and update them on random news throughout the company. And it stopped publication in 1917 to conserve resources during World War I, and took a pause until 1943, actually, when they picked back up during World War II to share more patriotic materials. It was more for the people at home. So how can you support our troops overseas? How can you, here's some gardening tips for your, mm-hmm. for your Freedom Garden, all of that good stuff. And then from there, it really shifted into a consumer-facing publication around 1946. And that's where you see all the feel-good lifestyle articles. It was for the baby boom generation, so road trips, the new highway systems, and some exciting destinations and restaurants to dine at, and hundreds of off-the-wall recipes.
Sure.
Many of those restaurants are actually still standing today, but the publication ran through then until 1993, so a lot of time is covered. But what we cover right now, what we're sharing publicly, is from 1964 until 1981, and that is to also commemorate the anniversary of the Mustang's reveal. So it is the 60th anniversary, and we're celebrating that with some of the fun Ford Times content that was created around the Mustang.
So how big was an average issue of the Ford Times? Was it, you know, just, you know, 10, 12 pages? Was this a pretty, like a full-fledged, like an in-flight mag? That's what it reminds me of, is you get on a flight and you get the in-flight magazine out, and it's got all that, you know, consumer, you know, they're not talking about ailerons and flaps and spoilers and stuff like that. They're talking about, you know, where to go when you visit Vegas and the best Coney place you can go to do in Detroit. Were they big issues?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty extensive. They're around 60 pages each, and that's pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. But they're, like I said, they're all over the place. I love the way that they would, at times, you know, connect lifestyle pieces to Ford vehicles. So, like, there was one article that was like, what should you wear to the unveiling of the Mustang? And they had like a partnership with like a clothing brand. But sometimes it really doesn't have any connection to a Ford product. It's just like, here's a fishing tip or some camping gear that you should look out for. And that's what I like to say to everyone. There's something for anyone you know in these issues.
So it's not just camping. It's not just, you know, driving around and, you know, the expansion of the interstate highway system. There was beginning in the 50s, you had the famous recipes of famous taverns. Now, have you seen any of those columns?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So many of them.
So, can you tell us which one is your favorite?
Oh, my gosh. My favorite. I really thought this one was funny. So they did themes for some of the restaurants and recipes. And one of them, they focused on Kentucky. And they focused on the Kentucky Derby. And so then they had like themed recipes for food that you should bring to like your watching party. And some of them sounded pretty gross, but some of them I would eat. So, and that's another thing to look out for, like weird recipes. Like one of them that I saw was like tomato pudding. Uh-huh. I don't even want to know what
there's
that
a lot
is,
of but... that weird stuff in the baby boom generation where it's a lot of aspic. A lot of gelatin, yes. But not like fun gelatin, like hot dogs inside of
meat
a Jell-O mold.
Yes, a lot of that, which is funny to look through. Honestly, I highly recommend looking out for those.
We're talking with Shelby Long, Ford audiovisual archivist, and you know, talking about the food. You know, there was a writer back in the day up in the Twin Cities who had a book, The Gallery of Regrettable Food. And I'm not sure I've enjoyed giving that book to more people. I got to look in here and see if I can't find these famous tavern recipes as part of this big archive. So you had this big magazine and, you know, 60 pages an issue. Was it monthly?
So it was monthly. And I didn't mention this, but it was also at one point international. So there was a UK version and there was also a Canadian version. And we have included those as well on the Heritage Vault. And so if anyone wants to go to FordHeritageVault.com, you can look through these, but you can also download them and you can have your own personal copy. You can print one off if you really want to. But they're all scanned at high res as well. So you get every detail. High quality images, and they're all PDFs.
In a big upset, somehow the UK version of the recipes, the food was all better. I mean, that was probably an upset. But so I'm looking at the stats here, and you guys have compiled by your own figures. By the mid 70s, you were sending out 2 million copies of this, estimated readership around 8 million people. That's huge.
It's wild. Yeah. And so that's, I think people assume that the four times, they just shoved an issue like in every model that they sold, but people actually had subscriptions to the Ford Times. Like it was a big deal. It wasn't just customers.
When putting all this together and, you know, getting the assignment to help with the scanning in, I'm guessing, you know, thousands and thousands of pages you guys have gone through. What was something you came across that just absolutely flabbergasted you, that you were like, wow, that's amazing. You couldn't wait to go and tell people about.
One of my personal favorite articles and what I went through was this, I think it was some sort of exposition, and it was like planning for the future. And so it was in the 60s. I want to say it was around 65, 66. And it was camping gear of the future. So what they thought we would be doing. And so it's like, you're going to be flying. You're going to be like deep sea, like camping underwater. And they had sketches of the gear that they thought would exist in the future. And I love looking at that because it's so aspirational and obviously didn't come to fruition. But just like all of the future forward thinking when it comes to design or just like ideas, all of that was my favorite for sure.
Well, that's really cool. Ford has released all the issues from 1964 through 1981. They're available at the Ford Heritage Vault. And wrapping this up, is there anything else we should be armed with before we go in and look? Because there's so much stuff. Do you have a recommended order of things you go through? Do you do it thematically? Do you do it chronologically? What's the best way to consume all this content?
Yeah, so I would definitely employ some some narrow searches. So right when you get to FordHeritageVault.com, you can do a general search if you want to. I recommend going to the top right corner and clicking on the advanced search, and then you can narrow down from there. So if you just want to see the Canadian Ford Times, you can do that. If you just want to see the US Ford Times, and then I like to arrange by year. And if you just want to hop around, but you can also select the year if you're looking for a particular year or a particular issue. Definitely use the advanced search. And like I said, everything is high res. It's all downloadable. And we don't just have the Ford Times. We also have product imagery, brochures, concept cars, and images of Ford locations.
And that's, you know, those pictures of, you know, concept cars. You know, we've talked to Ted about that, but I think, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned the brochures. The brochures is where the magic is. There's a lot of really cool stuff that are in those. But, you know, the Ford Heritage Vault, been around since a little under 2 years, and you've got 23 million searches from 180 countries, just all sorts of fun stuff going on. And the history of Ford, I mean, you're making history every day up there in Michigan, and we're Absolutely. Glad that you guys are able to kind of bring a little bit of a look in the past, help your average fourth grader out with his book report.
Exactly. Yeah, I highly recommend anyone, you know, they're going to find something in the Ford Times. So go to FordHeritageVault.com.
There we go. You beat me to it. FordHeritageVault.com as we can find all of it. Shelby, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time, and we'll be right back on the National Defense.